Now, the worship of Avon United Methodist Church, located at 130 Genesee Street in Avon, New York. Reverend Mia Richardson, pastor. Welcome to worship with the Avon United Methodist Church.
Worship this morning. It is a great joy to be gathered back together again. There are a few announcements to share with you. The Bible study this week and next week will be in the Royal Perrin Room, and that will be following the service, so it'll be around 10:45. So we'd love to have you join us. We're continuing our study of Genesis. And you will see our food pantry update, as if you are able to bring any food to give to the food pantry, there is a donation bucket downstairs. And finally, we welcome Bill and Bob Lewis, who will be sharing your musical gifts with us. We are pleased to have you joining us this summer once again and sharing your talents and glorifying God with your music. So thank you for being here with us today. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad, and shall we sing together?
Thank you. Good morning. Our Old Testament reading comes from Exodus chapter 19, verses 16 through 25. Our reading takes place after the Israelites have escaped Egypt through the Red Sea and arrived at Sinai, God's holy mountain. Through their experiences at Mount Sinai, we learn about the importance of obedience in our relationship with God. On the morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning. A thick cloud covered the mountain. A loud trumpet blast was heard, and everyone in camp trembled with fear. Moses led them out of the camp to meet God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord had come down in a flaming fire. Smoke poured out of the mountain just like a furnace, and the whole mountain shook. The trumpet blew louder and louder. Moses spoke, and God answered him with thunder. The Lord came down to the top of Mount Sinai and told Moses to meet him there. Then he said, "Moses, go and warn the people not to cross the boundary that you set at the foot of the mountain. They must not cross it to come and look at me, because if they do, many of them will die. Only the priests may come near me, and they must obey strict rules before I let them. If they don't, they will be punished." Moses replied, "The people cannot come up the mountain. You warned us to stay away because it is holy." Then the Lord told Moses, "Go down and bring Aaron back here with you. But the priests and people must not try to push their way through, or I will rush at them like a flood." After Moses had gone back down, he told the people what the Lord had said. This is God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God.
Shall we pray? God of grace and God of glory, we are so blessed to be here, to have your breath that you give us, to have the freedom to worship you, to have the joy that you give us fill our hearts. We come this day longing for your presence. We want to hear you so clearly that we know for certain that you are speaking to us. So clean out our ears, wash away the crust from our eyes, open our hearts so we can sense you once again. Forgive us, O God, for all of those times when we have acted in ways that do not reflect your love for us or your love for our world. Clean us, create us anew, and empower us to be your disciples. You have heard the prayers of our hearts. Go to each situation. Comfort. Bring hope. Bring peace. Keep safe. Enable us to be your love made known to them. We pray for our world. Bring peace to our world. Give wisdom to all leaders that they might find ways to work together for the good of all of your creation. Thank you, O God, for friends, for family, for neighbors, for strangers, for all of the blessings that you continue to give to us, we who do not deserve it. We thank you most of all for Jesus, our Lord and friend who taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Thank you.
pray together. Spirit of God, come fall afresh on our hearts. Make us into the disciples that you call us to be today, tomorrow, and all the days of our lives. Amen. Last week, I wrote the first sermon on lament on a very rainy day. It seemed as if all of God's creation was lamenting with me. As I stared at the wet grass and the glistening flowers, I thought just how important those rainy days were to the goodness of God's creation. We would have been much happier without the dangerous lightning and the hours of cleanup that the powerful storms caused for people. But without the rain, we would not have had growth. If you are anything like me, the flowers can get quite droopy without those rainy days. We need rain and sunshine. We need light, but we also need darkness. Darkness is quite necessary. Imagine watching the 4th of July fireworks in the light of day. We need the darkness to show off those bright colors. Without the night, the rhythm of our bodies of waking and sleep would not keep our bodies healthy. Throughout the Bible, we read in many passages that darkness is linked to sin and wandering. But this is not only the case. Remember the Israelites wandering in the darkness. Even then, God's presence was felt. God led them with a cloud by day and fire by night. Night can be quite powerful. Remember how Jacob wrestled the angel at night, not letting go all night long until he received a blessing from that angel. Big things happen at night and in the darkness. In our scripture from the book of Exodus, the Israelites had fled Egypt, but they had not been gone all that long. The scripture says only 3 new moons had passed since they left Egypt. So less than 90 days had passed between the plagues in Egypt and that very day. To me, 3 months feels like a very long time to be wandering in the desert. After they reached the mountain, thunderstorms pounded on their tents. The cloud surrounding the mountain must have been dark and threatening. No wonder the people were afraid and refused to go near. God chose Moses, who accepted the challenge, to venture into the darkness because he trusted that God would be there to meet him, even in the darkness, the lightning, and the thunder. Do we venture into the darkness in order to again discover God? We are so used to the light. Lots of street lights, at least in my neighborhood, televisions, cell phones, clock radios. True darkness rarely, if ever, envelops us. Why do we run from the darkness? Barbara Brown Taylor asserts that just maybe we are afraid of the darkness and the uncertainty that it brings because it reminds us of our finitude. We are vulnerable, uncertain, and cannot confidently pursue the day. It's not how we like to think of ourselves. Darkness, however, allows us to let go of all of the distractions of life and simply be with God. One of the places where I felt closest to God was when I was studying abroad and sailing in the middle of the ocean. As I stared out into the darkness, with only the stars above and the dark sea below, I knew how small I was and how vast the universe, the sea, and how vast God was. In the darkness, we can rest in God's presence. We can find God's peace and even wrestle with God. With no distractions, the conversation is between God and us. We venture into the darkness to deal with ourselves as well. All too often, our society teaches us that all negative feelings that we have are bad. We do what we can to distract ourselves from those feelings or from those experiences. In the darkness, we have the opportunity to allow ourselves to really know ourselves and to know our feelings. In that darkness, there is nothing that we can do to hide from our memories of the things that we have done or those things that we have left undone. Could the darkness be a time of resting in God's forgiveness and maybe, just maybe, forgiving ourselves for those mistakes we have made or letting go of those regrets that we live with? Or allowing God to heal the pain. The darkness, while maybe scary at first, can be an opportunity for healing. Moses in the darkness heard the very voice of God. I will be your God. You will be my people. Or Elijah in the darkness of the cave. Heard God not in the wind, not in the thunder, but in the still small voice, in just a wisp of the wind. What might we learn from God if we venture into the darkness? What opportunities await us as we let go of all of the busyness and the surroundings in our lives? To pick up the presence of God. Thomas Merton, in his book Thoughts in Solitude, wrote, "My God, I have no idea where I am going. I cannot see the road ahead of me. I cannot know for certain where it will end. Nor do I know myself. And the fact that I think I am following your will does not mean that I am actually doing so. But I believe that the desire to please you does, in fact, please you. And I hope that I have that desire in all that I am doing. I hope that I will never do anything apart from that desire. And I know that if I do this, that you will lead me by the right road, though I may know nothing about it. Therefore, I will trust you always, though I may seem lost and in the shadow of death. I will not fear, for you are ever with me, and you will never leave me to face my perils alone. So come, venture into the darkness and the stillness of God's presence. Discover the place of healing and wholeness and the light of God even in the deepest darkness. You might just learn something about God and about yourself. May the darkness and the stillness be not a scary place, but a place of hope, healing, resurrection. Amen. And now may the blessings of God, our Creator, the resurrection hope of Jesus Christ, and the peace and presence of the Holy Spirit bless you, keep you, now and forever. Amen. I would invite you to remain seated so that we may hear God's beautiful music shared for us today.
Part 2 with Pastor Kim Farrell on July 6, 2014, reflecting on the enabling and empowering aspects of darkness, which can refocus our perceptions such that we see things in ways they cannot be seen when surrounded by light. Plus, Bill and Bob Lewis join us with their annual twin trombone tribute to the 4th and the official beginning of summer.
You've been listening to the Avon United Methodist Church, located at 130 Genesee Street in the village of Avon. We hope that you have experienced the love of Jesus Christ during your time with us. We invite you to join us on the air weekly at 7:30 a.m. Sundays. Please visit us on the web at avonnyumc.org or call us at 226-8600. May God richly bless you.